Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hey, Morgan.
I've been coming here for, I would say, 2 years total, but really consistently with Envision at House Church and other events, especially for about 6 months or so.
Wonderful.
But during these last few years, the Lord has really brought me through a lot. And I wanted to first read a scripture from Mark 2.
Chapter 2?
Yeah, Mark 2, 18 through 22. And here it's written that now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. Because no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, and the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." And I believe this is kind of speaks to my testimony personally, just with old wineskins and new wineskins. Because in the Word, one interpretation that I found was that this old wineskin kind of symbolizes like our own personal old man that the Bible talks about. So there's the old man and the new man. And in Romans 8, it mentions the old man. It kind of describes it as Romans 8, 6 through 8 is, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And I believe that the old wine also symbolizes like our own works, that we were trying to earn righteousness and favor in the eyes of God. And for me personally, I just felt like that was definitely something that I've always struggled with. However, the new wineskin is this new man that God has built up within us. And in Romans 8, it also says that, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin,
yes,
the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus, and he will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you."
Hallelujah.
So you can kind of see the difference. You guys, we were dead and now
yes,
we're alive. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, true life.
Amen.
But also, just to touch on this new wine idea, the new wine being the Holy Spirit, and I thought this was the most hilarious thing when I saw it. In Acts 2, there's this day of Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost comes and people are speaking in these new languages, and you know, it's just kind of confusing time. Everyone's hearing their own language from their own city, their own nation, and there's people around them who are like, "What is going on?" They're filled with new wine, you know, they're drunk. And the funny thing is, they were filled with new wine. They were filled with the Spirit, so.
Amen.
I thought that was really intriguing just to know that, like, it was true. And they really were filled with this new wine. And,
Amen.
And basically, I just wanted to tell just more about my personal old wine and old wineskins and this new wine that I've received and this new wineskin I've put on. Because I was, you know, growing up, I grew up in this universalist church where it was all about humanism and trying to be the best we can be and trying to get all these good people around us so that we could have a community that you know, loves one another or, you know, that wants to make the world a better place. And for a while, it was, like, really enriching, and I had all of these great friendships, but there's something very deep within me that was missing, and you know, I just ended up struggling with, like, suicidal thoughts and just fell into, you know, all sorts of sin and you know, as a lot of teenagers do. And, but I think the main thing was is that my identity tended to be in what I did. It was like who I was dependent upon what I did and my performance.
Right.
And this has just been a trend throughout my whole life is that, and I really think this came from my father, who was very, you know, honestly, he was abused by his mother, and he was just really pressed into him that he needed to do well and be good at everything he did, and that if he didn't, that he was an embarrassment to the family. And so I kind of lived that life too, of always feeling like I wasn't good enough and always seeking for this approval and always seeking for something more. And you know, I excelled at soccer and I excelled at school, and I was always just, you know, beat down more and more and struggled with suicidal thoughts and really ended up drawing very close to the place of suicide. And just really, really dark in high school. But the problem was is that when I came to Christ in high school, I believe I did receive him, and I believe I did, you know, turn from my sin. I was repentant, and I wanted nothing to do with sin. I was done with it, you know.
Hallelujah.
Which was amazing, and praise God, but there was something that remained where I still had these tendencies to strive. I still had these tendencies to want to be seen highly in the eyes of others. I still had these tendencies to want to have everything I do be based on my performance. You know, it's so easy to do. And the cool thing is, you guys, as we see this, as we just heard in Mark, the Pharisees were doing the same thing. You know, why aren't you guys fasting? Why aren't you guys working unto the Lord? You know, why are you just hanging out and communing with one another? You know, what is this? There's something to be done. And I've been in that same place. I really believe that for so long. I've felt like, internally, I've just felt like a Pharisee almost. Just, you know, just not producing that joy and that love for my brothers and sisters that I've wanted. I've just felt like, I've just been doing what I'm supposed to do. But I will say this, that repentance isn't a bad thing, that God calls us to abstain from sin, you know. Before the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, the disciples went up in the upper room and sought for God. They sought for him. They prayed. You know, they wanted him to come down. So there is a desire that has to be there. But in Romans 9, it also says, therefore, it does not depend on man's effort, but on God's mercy.
Amen.
And so we got to wait, and we got to allow God to transform us internally. And I believe that's vital. And it's also, Romans also says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And just knowing that, you know, I'm loved, I'm cherished, I'm adored. You know, and this has just been the last so many months, you know, so many weeks even, that I've really started to discover this and started to make that what, you know, my priority and what I want to pursue is just the love of the Father. And so I have kind of a story about that. You know, when I first came to Christ, I was all about trying to operate in the miracles. You know, I want to see God's presence fall. And, you know, I got into this whole thing in the fall and in the summer about, you know, wanting to see revival come to Bellingham. And I was listening to this guy named Leonard Ravenhill, who's really intense, and just feeling like oh, you know, I'm going to see this. But despite our repentance, there's still something inside that sometimes remains. You know, despite, you know, I wasn't having sex, I wasn't doing drugs, but there was still this pride or this hurt within me, this old man that wasn't being healed. And I believe that this deep down is truly what my old wineskin is. I believe that, you know, I've received the Spirit, but there's still just this hurt within me. And the coolest thing though, last week I had this experience with the Spirit, and I never used to believe this in my life. I never used to even think that, like, this was biblical. I was just sitting in my room meditating on God's love and his kindness, and all of a sudden I had this Acts 2 moment where I felt these tongues of fire come upon me, and I was just, you know, speaking in these syllables and in these languages that I didn't really know. And all I could think about in that moment were these childhood memories that I had. I remember, like, being with my friend, you know, sleeping in a tent, you know, in the woods when I was a kid, and being in my friend's treehouse, and all of these memories, I was just filled with joy.
Yeah.
I was just filled with awe, you know, playing basketball with my dad, and just
real love.
Awesome times. And, you know, as I've grown in the faith, I've always kind of saw, you know, that childlike joy and been like, well, there's greater things to be had, you guys. Come on, like, we got to go see God. You know, that's cool. But I believe that that really is the kingdom, and that really is where God wants a lot of us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because the thing about living childlike is that there's this humility, and without humility, I believe we can't really receive love. We can't really receive the love of the Father. And I don't really have any scripture right now to back that up. But I just really believe that children embody the humility that we're meant to have. Every day, yeah, there's an innocence, there's a caring for one another, there's a freedom and a joy. So with this, I just know that this joy and this freedom and this peace and humility is what God wants me to have in this new season of my life. And I know that is what the new wine truly is, and what the new wineskin truly is in my life, is that this, He wants me to know Him and to love like Him, and to love with humility, to honor others above myself, and to seek Him in a new way, and through these childlike perceptions, through this love. So yeah, it's really exciting, you guys. Because I've been so legalistic for so long.
Welcome to the family.
Anyway, I just wanted to pray. Thank you, God, so much just for your love. Just that in my weakness, you're made strong. You know, I haven't done things right. I know I've had a hardened heart. I know that I've hurt people, and I've hurt myself. And Lord, I just ask for your forgiveness right now. I ask for the ability to know you intimately. I ask that others here would know you intimately. I just pray we would put off these old wineskins and embrace these new wineskins of the freedom and the joy that you have for us in the Holy Spirit. As we allow this new wine to be within us. And Father, just to know you. I just pray for that, God. I just pray for all of us for times of just quiet time with you, where we would just dwell with you and come to know your love. And Lord, and I pray for anyone who has father issues like I've experienced, God, of just having to be someone. Lord, would you heal our hearts of that? Would you allow us just to receive your agape love without having to impress anyone, or without having to just try? It's just it's the gift is free, Lord, and I pray we would know that it's a free gift.
Thank you.
You know, freely you have received, freely give you stand. So Lord, I just long for that for all of us here, God. And I thank you so much for this Envision community, just that we're all trying to grow, and we're all trying to, you know, we're broken, we're all very broken people, Lord, and I know that that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, Lord. I just pray that we could live in that place, and that you would allow us to be changed. And Lord, thank you so much. We just long to be like you, and for our hearts to be made new every day. So we say these things in Jesus' name.
A couple follow-up thoughts, and then I have Elisha. Interesting, Elisha asked me on the way here if he could share something, and I was a little bit like, oh, I don't know, and then Morgan told me a bit about what he was going to share, and I thought, well, let's do it. A couple things to back up, a scripture to back up what you were saying. Unless we become like a child, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that certainly replies to salvation, but it applies to all aspects of the kingdom. It does say, come on up, that's good. Peter 2, that's good. It does say that he doesn't want us to be like children in our thinking anymore. He wants us to be like adults in our thinking. He wants us to be as innocent as children, but also in our thinking, be like adults, maturing.
Yes.
So there's two aspects to that, isn't there? There's a sense in which we're maturing in knowledge and in grace, but we never get beyond the point where we are childlike in the sense that we're always learning to receive. You know, what I have to say is very small compared to that. But this is when we're learning to receive all the time from the Lord, and we never really outgrow that. I think that's an important thing for us to take in. Because he calls us not to be childish, but to be childlike.
Yes.
And so I didn't plan this, but Elisha wanted to share this, and along with Morgan's testimony, let me just say one more thing from a pastoral perspective. We don't teach here that you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But there are a number of people who have that gift here, and we want to encourage people to be more and more filled with the Spirit. If he wants to give you tongues or prophecy or whatever gift he wants to give you, we encourage that. And to encourage people to be childlike in receiving from the Lord. Mm. So I want to say that, but for whatever reason, that gift seems to be highlighted. So go ahead, Elisha. Mm-hmm.
Hi. I haven't had the gift of tongues for a long time. And last night, I was speaking in tongues in my sleep.
Amen.
Praise Lord.
And then I woke up, I was still speaking in tongues.
Nice.
Praise Lord.
Jesus loves you.
That's great.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for being the moral secure.
Can I have a question?
Oh, why don't you ask me later? Okay. That's good. That's good. We're excited to be up here, which I am too. But whatever gifts the Holy Spirit wants to give, I just want to encourage that. The context of the passage is the Pharisees were stuck in a mold. And you can understand the old covenant had been given, and there were things said like, don't associate with Gentiles. There were things that were said and done, and they were there. In one sense, though, Jesus says that old wine needs to be put with old wineskins. There was a place for that, that the law isn't bad, that the law has its place, that some of those things are vital and important. But the new wine was Jesus and the new covenant. And he came with that new wine, and they weren't, in childlike humility, open to that. So what he's saying really fits well with the context of that scripture into a new testimony. And I would just pray that we don't get stuck in the yeast of the Pharisees. One of the things Jesus said to Peter was, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Peter was there when he said it. And then Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and shares with thousands. And then Peter is given a vision from heaven of all these unclean animals that according to the law he wasn't supposed to eat. And he was told, don't call unclean what I've made clean. And then Gentiles come to his home and he goes and he associates with them. Which, when we've read in Joshua, they were told not to do. But he did, because there was a new wine. And yet, later on, I don't know if you knew this, but later on, Peter and Barnabas and a bunch of the folks in Jerusalem were afraid of what the Jewish people were saying, and they decided they would stop associating with the Gentiles, which were non-Jewish people. So the Apostle Paul had to come and remind Peter, who'd been told, beware the yeast of the Pharisees, who'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, who had seen a vision from heaven, and still got caught in the yeast of the Pharisees. So if we think, oh, I'm not prone to that, friends, it's a dangerous thing.
Wow.
And I just want to say, legalism can really catch you very quickly. And that old wineskin, we get stuck and we say, you know, no, that person's wrong, I'm right, we're fighting about doctrinal matters and all this. We need to stay clear about the truth We need to be in our thinking adults, and we need to mature and grow in knowledge, but we must always keep our hearts open to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's the word that I'm sensing from what the Lord's speaking through you, Morgan. And I'd like us to pray and fellowship and do all that fun stuff. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Morgan's testimony. I pray more testimonies would come to us as we meet together. Thank you that we have this opportunity to come together as your people. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. Help us not to get too stuck in our ways, especially as we get older, Lord. Help us to stay open to you.
Yes.
And yet, Lord, help us to stay true to you
and
not compromise the truth. Help us to be filled, as you were perfectly filled, with grace and truth.
Yes.
Worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we need you to bring us that wholeness, because we can't do it. We tend to do one or the other, and we don't know how to do both. So help us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you do, and thank you for speaking so clearly through our brother's testimony.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Talk amongst yourselves and fellowship and all that good stuff. Communion is next week, by the way, so be in preparation for that, too.